Would you look with me this afternoon in the book of Luke, the fourth chapter? I'm going to read a verse here and then desire your prayers the Lord would help us today. The fourth chapter of Luke and the 14th verse says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." When I think about our camp meetings, I think about our times of these high places that we come to, and the refreshing of the Spirit of the Lord in our lives, and the challenging things that we hear. I think of getting our batteries, spiritual batteries, recharged, and getting our spiritual life tuned up and renewed in this, being renewed in the spirit of our mind. And I look, and I've been burdened about how Jesus, what he did, and how we can also follow his steps, and how there are ways to not just go back home and be the same person, but return in power to the places that we are called to be in. We need this, folks, so much. I do in my spiritual life, because I realize that every day there are challenges, and there are things that it's bigger than me. Brother Marty mentioned the other night, there's just, I can't do it. I just can't do it. There's things that it goes beyond my ability. And I believe what God is wanting to do, his little flock of people. We heard about the church this morning. I believe that God wants to come by his people and give them special help in 2018. I believe he gives us little times of rest and refreshing, and I'm thankful for that. My wife and I, when we would go on a vacation for the last, 40 years, I guess, I'm not sure, we would usually center our off times around going to meetings. That's basically everything that we've done. And I think in being in those meetings has been so valuable, because we know what we're coming home to. We know what we have to face, and we need something from one another. I need to absorb and contain things that you have been through in your spiritual experience, and we learn from each other, and we gather strength sometimes from being with each other, because we know that out there in the world, you're going to go and you're pretty much alone. I think of going into the jail and signing in every time. And when I put my name down in religious organization, I put Church of God, I've flipped back through pages after page after page, and there's no one else. No, Church of God is non-existent in most of our jails, I'm telling you. And it's pretty lonely sometimes. And there's a lot of things. Being in the ministry many times is a place where we feel alone. Being a housewife, I'm not one, of course, but just think about your place. There's times that you don't have anybody to encourage. There's nobody maybe that would be like you, that would encourage you. But here's what I'm thinking this afternoon, that God wants us to return in power, return in the, like Jesus, in power. It said he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Do you know where this returning, where this came from? It was the 40-day fast. It was the 40 days being alone and being tempted being by himself and facing the onslaughts of Satan, the pressures, the powers that he fought against, and his weakness in the flesh, his being tempted there in the wilderness. He knew that the Lord was, just make you some fresh bread here out of these stones, or jump off of this pinnacle. You know, the Lord's going to catch you. You're not going to get hurt. And on he tempted him. But every time Jesus, to me, that's where the real strength of this returning came from, was by him being alone with his Father, by him fasting and praying and seeking God. That's where the clearness came, the direction came, and everything. You know what happened after his experience in the wilderness? Now it says he returned in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. He went back to his hometown. He went, and what happened? Was there a big welcome? Yay, there's Jesus coming. It said here that he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, in the 16th verse. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They knew he had something to say. And did he ever say something? It says here, he began to say unto them in the 21st verse, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Isn't it something, whenever we get close to God, that people, it stirs up some kind of interest in them, and they begin to question, well, these were gracious words. Where'd they come from? I tell you, it was him being out and getting close to his Heavenly Father that started this process. That, of course, he was a son of God, but he felt the need, and he got alone out there. And when he did, when he got, there was just closeness with the Father, and what it did was start this great divide. There was a division of truth and error. There was things when he spoke up, and his words were so gracious, they were so powerful, it set things in order in people's mind. How could he figure that out? How could he say he's the one that this was prophesying about? His words were powerful. And then he didn't stop there, but he began to tell them about how wicked they were. And he said, now you remember you all know the story of the prophet in the 24th verse. No prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. It's like, wonder why they didn't come to the Jewish way. Why didn't they come to people over here? No, he was sent another direction. And it said, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet. None of them were cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. And that stirred up something in the people's hearts. They were furious. these truths began to dig about them. They began to be stirred up. They saw themselves. Listen, this old world is not going to see itself until you and I, and Lord help me today, until we get close enough to the Father and we can have the power of God in our life, people are not going to see themselves. Conviction is not going to come like it should in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls until we as the people of God get close to our Father. But when we do, things start happening. Things start changing. And it surely did here. It said here in the 32nd verse, they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we each could have that power in our life, in our words that we speak, in our actions and everything that we do? I love the statement that one man years ago said, preach the gospel and use words if necessary. May the Lord help that our lives can be anointed by the Holy Spirit, anointed with the Spirit of God. It would not be just fleshly words. It'd not be just things out of the flesh, but it would be spiritual things. Let's look in the book of Acts 1 and 8. And I love this verse. He says here in the 8th verse, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. You know how he started off? He said, first of all, you're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem. You know what we just read about? A prophet's not without honor save in his own country. And being a witness close to home is something that's necessary for us. And that only can be done when we have the spiritual power working in our life. When we're willing to get close to God, there's going to be a power. And what is it going to do? We are not only going to be in Jerusalem, but that spiritual power will take us to Judea. It'll take us out of our comfort zone. It'll take us beyond the little realms we've been playing in ankle-deep water. It'll take us out further. And he said, you're not going to only go to Judea, but you're going to go to Samaria, a people that's not like you, that is not, they don't speak the same language as you. They're people that might be outcasts. They might be of different religious places. I'm going to send you there to Samaria. And you know, when we have the spiritual power of God working in our life, this last part of this verse says, you'll be witnesses to me unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The uttermost. So I look at this as here's Jerusalem, here's Judea, here's Samaria, and here's the uttermost parts of the earth. The only way we go to the uttermost parts of the earth again is to be like Jesus and return with this power in us, working in us and moving in us and moving us. First of all, we have to move. We can't expect sinners to be moved unless we're moved. We can't expect the world to fall down on its knees and bow down unless the church is bowing down, unless we are pliable and workable and teachable. Let us never think, folks, that we have a monopoly on the work of God. Let us never think that we have this thing in a bag. We know all these truths and we've got it and no one else has. Listen, we ought to stay close to our Heavenly Father. We have to have this spiritual power working within us. In the book of Acts, here's how they distinguished between people that knew God. It said here, 4 and 13, and all of these are very familiar scriptures to us. It said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It was like when they were so filled and so charged and so full They took note. They had been with Jesus. I was thinking, I worked at the Williams Center downtown. It's a 52-story office building, and there's times during the daytime when the wind is blowing and it's very hot outside that the wind blowing up the side of that almost 600-foot-tall building, as it comes up this side, it creates a static electricity. And it is so strong, you go up there and you can stand on the roof and your hair will just, there's such a charge. And you can hear the popping. It's 150 foot wide. You can hear the crack and pop in the air as that static electricity, it discharges from one side of the building to the other. And I've taken a 4 foot, just a fluorescent bulb up there and held it at nighttime. It'll do some of the similar things. You could take a light bulb and hold that light bulb in your hand and that fluorescent bulb will glow. It's amazing. And I think about being close to the Lord. What is it like? What is it? It's like our lives on fire. It's like His Spirit within us, working it and blessing our souls and giving us anointing, giving us utterance, giving us strength, and giving us power. It's so wonderful, folks. I believe we need this today more than anything around. We need this spiritual power working in our lives, and God wants to do that for us. The book of Proverbs, let me read down 2 Corinthians. Let me ask you, some of you, please pick up a scripture or two for me. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Yes. Proverbs 13 and 4. Yes. 11 and 29 of Proverbs. 1 John 5 and 4. Thank you. Let's read those now, if you don't mind. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Sister Jeanine. Casting, Brother Egbert Allen used to say that imagination is the biggest nation in the world. That imagination is something, it can go wild sometime. Our imagination. A lady would call one time, my boss had me go and work on this house, but he said, go over and find out what's wrong with this lady. She says there's somebody trying to break in her house, and she hears these noises. Long story short, it was squirrels up in the attic. Squirrels in the attic chewed a little hole in the soffit. They crawled up in there and they was wreaking havoc, building nests and playing games and jumping all, you know. But our imagination, it's like, he's probably a big burly guy. He's got a black mask on and he's got a gun. And he's going to come down any minute. I wonder what you saw. And he, you could hear those things running over here. Well, they're fast. There's probably two of them. It went back and forth and back. Our imaginations go wild with this. We used to teach a little lesson in this transformation center, and these women were coming off drugs and things, and I was in the class, and they said, we've been hearing these terrible noises. Oh, there's something in this ceiling, and they was just about spooked. So I said, all right. And I sat there for a while and I was listening and I heard that. I reached over there and lifted up the ceiling tile. And when I did, this squirrel ran down my arm and down. And I'm telling you, those girls just coming off drugs. Can you imagine that? That room was not big enough for all of us to be in there. The doors flew open. I wish I had a picture, folks. Some of them throwed their feet up on desk. And that squirrel was just going all over that place. Oh, your imagination sometimes. And then when you really see what's making the noise, sometimes that scares you worse than, you know, you think, oh, how awful. But our imagination, doesn't it sometimes get, your imagination can go wild. What we need to do, he said, casting them down and bringing into captivity. What do you think when something's brought in captivity? Boys, what do you think whenever you've got a cow that's out and you get him penned up? You get him back in captivity. Maybe you have to rope him. But you get him back in. We need some things arrested, folks. There's things that gets way, way out of hand. Imagination gets way out of hand. Wonder what they were saying about me. Well, I heard them talking. I know it had to be me they was talking about. They were talking about me. I heard them. I know they mentioned my... On and on and on. We could just go, you know what we need is a little bit of this power that the Lord's speaking of here. We need some of that power to come down to help us to arrest some of these runaway thoughts. Lord, help us. Proverbs 13 and 4. Listen to this. What's it say, Proverbs 13 and 4?
The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat.
The soul of the sluggard, he desires. But there's what? Never any action. There's never any application. There's never anything, you know, he's just desiring something all the time. A lady told us one time, she said, oh, I just feel like a little girl outside of a store and just looking inside. I just look inside and I see all these things and I can't have none of them. Self-pity makes us lonely. Do you know that? Self-pity makes us lonely. What we need is a fresh charge of the Spirit of God to help us to have ideas. Why not go and ask the people, these toys and everything are so nice. Just do something that's out of the ordinary. Can I wash your windows? I mean, I get to look at those toys and I think if I could see them better and people could see them better, maybe you'd sell more. Well, they'd think you're crazy. Well, you say, no, I want to wash your windows. You don't have to pay me. I just want to wash them. You ever have any ideas like that? You probably don't. I know people call me weird, but there's things that I think of and I think, man, we need more than these little desires. The soul of the sluggard desires, and what? He's empty. He has nothing because all he does is think about it. We've got to put some feet to our prayers, and we've got to put feet to our thinking. And if without the supply of the Spirit, we're going to feel like just dead all the time. Well, I'm sure hoping I can go to the meeting and that preacher will get up and say something just really fire me up. Well, I hope he can too. But it's hard to get wood that's wet to burn. It's just so hard. I've told you, maybe I haven't. I'd repeat myself a lot. But I remember I thought I got up, I prayed and studied and things and had a message. And I tell you, it was so quiet when I got done preaching, and I heard one brother go, ooh, just a big old yawn. That's all it wasn't, you know, you could have turned it to, oh, man. No, it was just, oh, it's just.
Just keep preaching, brother.
Well. Lord, help us today. Can't we squeak out more than a yawn sometimes? Can't we squeak? I mean, when we have the spiritual power working in our life, folks, it'll do something for us. It really will. I believe this with all of my heart. But the soul of the sluggard desires and hath not. Proverbs 11:29, what does it say? Thank you. The soul of he that troubleth in his house, you know, troubling our house, we're going to inherit the wind. Nothing. Nothing. Let folks, by our setting an example in our home, I think that we can set the taste of our family. Brother Marty mentioned something last night. Sister Marcia mentioned something about there. She saw something in her grandma. Brother Marty last night was saying, his children, you know, there's something about having that desire to go to church and be there. You know, there's so many excuses today. When we trouble our house, when we haven't been the example, when we lack the supply of the Spirit working in our life, we trouble our house. It throws up problems, and our children see that. And Lord, help us today. We need God to help us. 1 John 5 and 4. Did I mention that?
Yes.
1 John 5 and 4.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Thank the Lord. Overcoming the world, whatever is born of God will overcome the world. You see, when there is that inheritance we get from our Heavenly Father, that there is that package, there is that blessing of strength. When we get something from Him, we're going to overcome the world. He overcome it, and we can do the same thing when we're born of Him. When something is born of the Spirit, I tell you, there's good results. There's things that happen. If it's born of the flesh, it's going to be fleshly. If it's born of the Spirit, there's going to be spiritual things happen. And I pray that each of us will sow things that will be from the Spirit. And when they're from the Spirit, there will be spiritual things that we reap from that. Power, return with power. Order. Do you know we need order? When I think about returning with power, here's what comes to my mind. A few of the things I've mentioned to several, but there is order. There is something about order that makes you feel good. It just makes you feel good when there's things in order. You can find your tools. When you can find and you know where you're going. I went into a man's house one time, and they called me to work on this furnace. And I went in there, folks, and I get claustrophobia. I have a hard time in cramped places. And I tell you, when I followed this little trail back to where that furnace was, and then the man that was the owner of the house followed me, and he blocked my exit out of that little rabbit trail. And then he stepped on my foot while he's holding a light that I could see. And there was so much debris in the house, he had no idea he was on my foot until I pulled it out from under him. Oh. And then he moved again and stepped on it again. And I'm in this cramped spot. It reminds me another time. I was in a little tiny place, and these people, they were from another state, another country, another continent, and they wanted to see everything that I did. So I'm working on this electrical in a little tiny room, and all of a sudden they were huddled all around me. And this feeling of exasperation, I can't get out of here. And I thought, what am I going to do? And so I'm down there working. They had the power shut off, but I went, ow, like that. It was all gone. And I said, maybe you all should stay out there and watch me for more. Okay, Jim. And they stayed out there and watched me. So I got all my job done. I put it all back together. And then I said, see, here's what I did. I moved this wire, and I was showing them all these things like that. But I could, you know, when there's order, when there's something about a breathing space, order brings back so many things. And I tell you, in our life, we need that order. We do. There's chaos. The world, sin is chaos, and that's what the world's full of. And chaos takes away everything that is in line, everything that helps you to think clear. The sin in this world is so rampant, and it causes us to lose our direction. Strength. When he returned in power, he had order. He had strength. We need the strength of the Lord today. We need that, don't we? I mean, it's like we've heard already in this meeting, without that strength, we just flounder. We go and we try and attempt, and we kind of become like that sluggard. We desire and we have nothing. Our strength is gone. Samson lay in the lap of Delilah until all of his strength was gone. He couldn't do anything. He was a normal person. We can't either unless we have the spiritual power that comes from above. And God wants to give that to us. He doesn't want us to be without strength. Decisiveness. I sure need this one. Being decisive. Whenever you return with power, you can have a clearness of mind that you know what to do. I came here this meeting. There's some request. I desire the Lord to help me. I need to know what to do. It's not like I can, some people say, well, I can tell you, I can plan next year's time. I know exactly, I'm going to go. I've already got my books, my flights booked. Everything is in order. And just a matter of packing the clothes a couple of days ahead, and they're off. I wish, I can't do that. There's so many things change sometimes, and it's so many variables. But Lord, help us to have a little bit of decisiveness. A lot more of it. And clarity, the next thing, clarity. We want to be able to see what we're doing. That is so important, because without the knowing what we're doing and being able to do things even in the dark. Do you know how hard it is to do things when you can't see what you're doing? Everything is blacked out and you have to perform a task, and you've got to do this underwater, and you can't see this far in front of your face, but you've got to be able to put things, you've got to be able to make loops and hooks and be able to find your way around and secure things. Without clarity, we'll surely make a fumble. If you can't see what you're doing, the Lord give us clarity today. Purpose. We need that. Purpose of heart. Purpose of heart comes when we spend time with Jesus and we return in power after that we've taken time with Him and we face obstacles. We have purpose. I want to get this done by the Lord's help. I believe He wants me to do this. And the last thing I have was, we have hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm going to stop here after we read Psalms 37 and 23. Would someone pick that up for us? And Acts 11 and 23. I have several more wrote down, but I'm going to stop with these last two. Acts 11 and 23 and Psalms 37 and 23.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and delight in His law.
Thank the Lord. Do you like that scripture? The steps of a good man, a good woman, they're ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. I love that. I think that is so good. We want our steps ordered by God. We want Him to help us to be able to feel like we're walking in His steps, that we're doing what He wants, that we are His hands. I had a situation one time that this man had committed a murder, and it was awful. They had him on a suicide watch, and cold. They keep the temperature very cold in there. But anyway, I asked the guard, I said, is this man violent? And I said, no, he has no history of that. And I said, well, I want to pray for him. They said, that's fine. So I remember they had a little door where they put his food in there. And this man reminded me so much of, he just reminded me of one of my boys. I mean, I felt something for this man. I reached my hands through there, And I just put them on his head, and I held that man as he sobbed and he shook. He was so torn up. And I prayed for him. And I'm not saying this to get any credit. It's just the Lord that helps us. But having a little bit of love for the lost goes a long way sometime. I've never met him again. That was the last time. I never knew what happened to him. But just a moment of love. This world needs just a little bit of a little hope, and sharing a little bit of something with them. And may God help us to have our steps ordered by God. It's so necessary for us. I can't emphasize how important it is to have our steps ordered. The last verse here, 11 and 23 of Acts, could someone tell me, read that for us? I just love that. With purpose of heart, they would cleave to the Lord. I think God wants us to have purpose of heart. Do you have any retaliation in your bones? Do you have anything you're trying to get even with somebody or settle a score? Forget all of that. Forget all of that. You purpose in your heart, you're going to do good for evil. You purpose in your heart that you're not going to return. You're not going to return evil for good. That was something bad done to you. You're going to love anyway. My uncle, I know I tell you a lot of stories, but he had his hand caught. He worked for Dixie Cup, and he got his fingers tore off, and he had to stand there while they disassembled this machine. He had his fingers tore off, and he went through a good part of his life. I loved Uncle Bill, but he had these fingers missing, and this was in the 60s, and they grafted his hand to his stomach. That's how they grafted, and he almost went berserk because of in that position for weeks at a time with his hand sewn to his stomach like this. And they grafted that skin to his stomach while that new skin was growing. It tore his hand, mangled it so bad. But when they cut all that off and this new skin was growing, he had an old coon dog, and that dog bit him on that hand and came down and just chewed into, and Uncle Bill said, if I jerked my hand back, I knew it was going to tear that skin. And he said, I reached over with my other hand and I started petting that old dog on the head, and he opened his mouth. What he told me has stuck with me for years. Returning evil for good. You know, had he jerked back, had he hit him, it could have enraged, it hurt what he'd done to his hand, but he got out of there with a minimum. I mean, it was painful, but returning evil for good, folks, we have to have a purpose in our heart. We have to purpose in our heart that I'm going to be kind, I'm going to be gentle, I'm going to be easily entreated, I'm going to do things better. We have to have the Spirit of God to be able to do those things. It doesn't come natural. It doesn't come natural. Our natural man is opposite of what the spiritual man wants to be. And we have to concentrate. Lord, help us today. I know we're not very many here today, but I hope that we can gather just a few things and profit from the Word of God and the things of God. These things are good for us today if we think about them. And God can help us to return in the Spirit with power. That's my thought. May God bless the Church of God today, that we will, when we go back to our homes and our places we minister and we work, that we will have the power of Christ working in our lives. Amen.